I hope you have your Bible open to Psalm 119. Just some thoughts I'll share with you tonight, and hopefully it'll encourage us. What we're going to show and we're going to see is that the importance of God's Word in our life. And sometimes I think we talk about it a lot, but I'm not sure we see the relevance of God's Word. Now, God's Word is powerful, but it's powerful because of the God who's behind it. That's what you have to realize. And that's what makes it so powerful. Psalm 119, as you will recognize, is one of the longest psalm, or it is the longest psalm, one of the longest chapters in the whole Bible. But if you'll note, or if you've ever noted, it's broke up into 22 sections. Every section is one of the Hebrew alphabet. And what's interesting about the Hebrew alphabet is that the letters for every, or the letter for the alphabet, always stands something for God. It's not like our alphabet. But the Hebrew alphabet, each letter had some significant meaning in relationship to God. As we look at verses 25 through 32, this is the fourth letter of the Hebrew alphabet. And in this fourth letter, the whole chapter focuses on the importance of the Word, but this really hones it down for every one of us in our lives. You and I have been there where we've been discouraged. You and I have been there where we've hurt. Sometimes maybe you've had a hurt or we've gone through a hurt that there's no way that you can express anything to anybody. And you just kind of go and fall to pieces. You ever been in that position? Now, it's, you know, we like to think we're not. We've all been through that. This is that hurt. And when you get so despondent, when you just get so down, what do you do? Well, this is one of the few verses that point the people of God, this is what you do. It's not a medical problem that you have. You have to understand, and I'm talking to Christians here, you have to understand the intensity that goes on within the depth of the soul and the heart of each one of us when you do get down. And there is a right answer, but you have to be able to believe it in order to find the power. And David makes no bones about it where he's going to find the power, but he really comes low. Look at verse 25. He says, "My soul cleaves to the dust." Now, my soul, this is something, the deepest part, or one of the deepest parts within us. Our soul, that living part of us that is eternal in nature, the soul is what is actually, and I'm trying to even think of the word. It's the communing, it's the life part that we commune with God. And when the soul gets in despair, I mean, it can send your whole body into a tizzy. We don't understand much how the body works on the soul with the spirit. We're very poor at that. I wish we would do a better study of that. I'm going to plan on teaching on it sometime. But you have to see the interconnection that the body is connected to the soul and how the soul is connected to the spirit, and that the body is either going to draw something from your spirit side, it's going to draw from your soul side, and if the soul side's cut off from the spirit side, where God communicates with man, it's where the Holy Spirit resides on our spirit side. If that sight is cut off from God, the only place the soul has to draw anything from is from the body side. You need to understand that. And so therefore, when the soul is in despair, when you feel the down and down and down, you got to know, what do I do? And so he begins and he says, my soul cleaves to the dust. When we talk about, or he's talking about here, cleaving to the dust, it's literally the idea of a person coming in and collapsing and falling to the ground on all fours, and it just can't go on. That's what the idea of this cleave to the dust. You ever been in that position? I just can't go on. And it affects you that you just collapse. And he knows it because it's coming from his soul. What do you do? What do you do? Look at 25. My soul cleaves to the dust. Revive me according to your word. How was he going to find a reviving? That's where we don't believe this, I'm afraid, sometimes. And maybe it's just me. Maybe I don't believe it. But I sure see a lot of times people that get so far down in their heart, their soul, and they don't know what to do. And they just cry, and they cry. You know, oh, I got to take something for this. And here's David, that his soul cleaves to the... He has collapsed inwardly. And he cries out to God, revive me according to your word. You see, he's wanting the voice of God to pick him up. That's where we miss it. People say, well, God doesn't talk to you. He does through his word. We have this recorded word that came from the eternal God. And he spoke these words. He's the spiritual God. God is spirit. He's not flesh and blood. And he spoke these words. These words were breathed literally through his mouth from this life-giving God. And these men, moved by the Holy Spirit, the giver of the life within man, pins this down. And here's David, revive me. I am in the pits in my soul. And I want your word to revive me. Now, I want you to hold this a second. Come over, if you would, to Hebrews chapter 4. We're going to come right back, so keep your finger marked. Look at Hebrews chapter 4. You see, a lot of times we turn to the wrong places. That's why it's hard to rise above the difficulties of depression when you just feel like that you've been cut off at your feet and you just can't go. Oh, soul is crying out. In Hebrews chapter 4, look at verse 12 with me. He says, for the word of God is living and active, and sharper than any two-edged sword, and piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. For the word of God is living. Is this thing living that we're holding in our hands? It's words printed on paper, but when there's faith put into it, there is life found within those words. It's active. I mean, it'll do work. It's not just a passive thing that if you'll read a verse, you know, and okay, you might find something like you're reading a Reader's Digest or you're reading some kind of story of how a person made it through a difficult part in life. This Word of God is living and active. And not only is it living and active, He said it is sharp. It is sharper than any two-edged sword that a man could ever use. But this two-edged sword that it's sharper than is piercing. And you know where it'll get down to? As far as division of the soul and the spirit. I mean, it can get down to the depth of mankind. It can get into your soul. It can get into your spirit, and it knows the difference between the two. You see, the living Word of God being active, it's very spiritual in nature. He said it is piercing as far as division, the division of the soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow. Why would he say the Word of God is living and active for joints and marrow? That's what we have here as we look at one another. That's our bones. You know what he's telling you? That Word of God is living and active, and it will keep you well physically. There is a lot to be said from Scripture about walking with the Lord, and you go from the old to the new, you listen to the Word of God, and it will help you physically. Always has. We're getting away from believing a lot of these things. But that's why he's talking about it here. He said it's active, it's living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword and piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. You know what? That Word of God is also mental. The thoughts and the intentions of the heart, it'll help you mentally. And so, here's God's Word. And if we would pay attention to it, you would find spiritual gain, physical gain, and mental gain if we would believe it. And then he lays out the premise in verse 13 when he adds to it, "And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are open and laid bare to the eyes of him with whom we have to do." Nothing's hidden from the sight of God. Too many times, the things of God are hidden from us because we don't believe it. We don't believe it. God knows. Well, knowing that little bit, when you come back to Psalm 119:25 and you look at David, and if you know that there's no creature hidden from his sight, David knows where the answer lay. And the answer lays where? Verse 25, "My soul cleaves to the dust. Revive me according to your word." You see, David knew that the inner struggle that he had in his soul, that the inner struggle he was having, he was going to find relief from the Word of God. And he cries out to God, "I want you to revive me because I know the Word of God is living and it's active. I know your Word. You say it, it will be done." 26. "I have told of my ways and you have answered me. Teach me your statutes." Think about that one. David's talking to God. This is a prayer, it looks like, coming up. "I told you my ways. Tell God how you feel. It's okay. But you need to expect something from God when you pray. I told you my ways. You answered me. And so guess what I want? I want you to teach me of your statutes." Statutes is a synonym, you know, for the Word of God. It's just another synonym, a way of saying it. What's David wanting? I want you to teach me. You see, I want you to revive me according to your word. I want you to teach me your statutes, your word. I want to hear from you, God. Continue on, verse 27. Make me understand the way of your precepts. There's another synonym with the idea of the word of God. Make me understand. Where was he going to gain understanding? It's going to come from God and his word. So I will meditate on your wonders. Now, notice what David brings up in this. I will meditate. I don't want you to raise your hand here. I don't want anybody to tell on themselves or not tell on themselves. Have any of you ever meditated? And I don't mean like the world talks about meditation. I mean, where you meditate on the Word of God, where you take the Word of God and you bring it into conscious action and you think about what He's saying, you mull over what He's saying, you let your mind direct completely to certain things that He's saying. We need to do more meditating on the Word of God. We need to do more meditating on the Word of God when we drive. Do more meditating on the Word of God as we go about our day, as we sit at the house in the evening. You know, you need to think about what He's saying and let the Word of God have preeminence in our thought process. So what? So you can start understanding greater what His ways are and what He wants. You'll find a revival within you. You'll be able to be taught the things of God. Look at verse 28. My soul weeps because of grief. Now what is he back to? See, first his soul cleaved to the dust. Now his soul is weeping because he is grieving. Guess where grief takes place at? In the soul. He said, my soul weeps because of grief. The answer, strengthen me according to your word. There's where he's going to find strength. When you get down, when we get wearied, when we get confused, when we hurt, where do we look for strength? What did he say? Well, my soul weeps because of grief, but strengthen me according to your word. I'm making no bones, he says, where I'm looking. Look at verse 29. Remove the false way from me and graciously grant me your law. It's kind of interesting. Sometimes you and I can make poor choices, and we do. And you make a poor choice, and you know what? You end up paying a consequence for it. Sometimes our choices are made because we've not let go of sin completely. A little bit selfish, a little self-centered. Maybe there's something we're involved in that we know is not completely right. Well, those can be great sources of grief because guilt starts working within the soul. Well, one thing David wanted God to know, he wanted God to remove the false ways from him. Now, God doesn't take false ways out of your way. He doesn't take sin out. You got to deal with it. And you got to deal with sin honestly. And if you'll deal with it honestly and be honest with God, guess what? God will remove that from you. If you find yourself struggling with something, be honest. And be willing to get rid of it out of your life, knowing it's not going to do you any good, but cost you deeply. And so, what does he say? Remove the false way from me and graciously grant me your law. You know what? If you'll be willing to let it move, the wrong ways, the false ways, he knows God has to grant the good to come back, the right things to come in to replace it. And that's what he asked God for. Graciously grant me. It's a plea. Verse 30. I have chosen the faithful way and placed your ordinances before me. I want the sin out of my life, and guess what I have chosen? I've chosen the faithful way. Well, you know, to be faithful, Lord, that's a choice you make. I'm not going to sin. I'm not going to give in to sin. I choose to do the right thing, and it may hurt, it may cost you, but yet here he says, I've chosen the faithful way. And to do that, he said, you know what I've placed before me? Your ordinances. There's another synonym that he talks about. I've put them right before me so I can look at it all the time. This is what I'm thinking about. This is what I'm meditating on. This is where I'm going to find revival. This is where I'm going to find teaching and understanding and strength. It's going to be your way. He's putting all of his trust in the word of the Lord, because he understands the God who backs it up. And so I place your ordinances before me, 31. He says, I cling to your testimonies. O Lord, do not put me to shame. Now you have in clinging. Now, he's hurting. He's hurting. But he's wanting God to know beyond the shadow of a doubt, God, I want you to know that this is not a prayer. I'm not making a request of just talking. I'm clinging. Your testimonies mean everything to me. And I expect you, Lord, never put me to shame. He's expecting something from God because of the commitment he's making to God. And then he says in verse 32, I shall run the way of your commandments, for you will enlarge my heart. I shall run. I mean, we don't see a guy. We saw a guy starting at the first part. He's fallen down. He is cleaving to the dust, his soul. He is so far down. But you know what? You see this glimmer, this glimmer of hope comes up, because you know what he's expecting from God? You know what he's expecting from God's word? He's expecting relief. He's expecting help. And he ends up saying, you know, now that I've been cleaving to the dust of the ground, my soul grieves within me. But you know what? I'm going to get up. I'm going to run. And I'm going to run the way of your commandments. And I know what you're going to do. You're going to enlarge my heart. You're going to make me understand things better. You're going to relieve me. You're going to give me greater things within my life than I've ever had before. Boy, these are just one section, the fourth alphabet. And this thing applies to God Almighty. If so, you and I, next time you get down and you find yourself struggling, or you feel like the best friend you've ever had stabbed you in the back, or you feel like you have no friend at all, you feel like life is cheating you, it's tough, my family's gone astray, nobody cares about me, you need to sit down, you need to read these. Because David said, according to your word, you're going to revive me and lift me up, give me understanding. You're going to teach me. You're not going to put me to shame. And I know it. So I'm going to get up and I'm going to run. And I'm going to run the way that you command me. And it will be well with your soul. And that's the guarantee. I think sometimes we don't put enough stress on the Word of God, or sometimes our daily Bible readings, and I'm glad people read. I want people to read their Bible daily. But you need to read with faith, and not just because I'm going to read through the Bible in a year. There needs to be some faith put in that thing. This is the living and active Word of God that can penetrate to the depths, to the mental, and to the physical, and that can help you out. And God knows it. The only question is, do we? I pray it helps you, and I pray it moves you along. And let's walk together down this road, and let's trust and pay attention more closely to the Word of God, as David said.